Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topic surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I know some of you are going through difficulties, but that's the way it is in this life. But there is a time coming when everything will be made right and it'll be total joy and peace. Today I want to read from the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ given to the world, given to us as Christians. And it is very interesting. You're interested sometimes in the last words people say, and you will remember those things. And so right at the end of the Bible, at the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking here, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, and he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And that is when the revelation is completed, when the tribulation period is completed, then Jesus will come back to this earth to rule and reign over this earth. And he says, "My reward is with me to give every man according to his as his work shall be." So he's going to those that are born again and saved by grace through faith. And we don't work to be saved, but we are rewarded according to our works. Everything you do for the Lord. And you can start by just helping people to begin with. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so we got to have our eyes open to help everyone that we can, particularly the saved people. And if we find they have a need, be willing to help them. And then we can witness to them, and we ought to witness. Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Do the works, and then through that, and then through witnessing, you will glorify the Lord. So he says, and God will glorify you, God will reward you according to your works. Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." That is, everything in creation begins with him and will end with him. And we have a wonderful and great Savior. Then going down to verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." Now, the last words of Jesus, he says, "I testify in the churches." And I seem to meet a lot of Christians that don't attend church. They don't have a church home. And Jesus set up the church. It's not a man-made institution. The Lord set it up. And maybe you had trouble in one church. Well, there are churches that are doing right. And if you can't find one, maybe you ought to ask yourself if the problem is with you, to put it bluntly. Because there are churches out there, and if you want to know where one is, why we are sponsored by Manaway Country Baptist Church, but also there are Bible-believing Baptist churches all over, and other churches that have the same doctrine. They're all over the area, all over the world, and you can find one that you can fit into if you're right with the Lord. But I can't imagine a person that loves God and doesn't love the church. Jesus said that he loved the church and gave himself for it. And you know, when he's talking about the church, he's talking about the individual churches. Some people say, well, just all Christians are referring to the church. And that's not what the Bible teaches. It says churches here. That is a plural word. And there's thousands of churches all over the world that believe the Bible. And it's mentioned 115 times in the New Testament. Half the New Testament is written directly to the churches. And Jesus said, if a man will not hear the churches, count him as a publican. That's a crook and a heathen, somebody that doesn't know God. And those are very strong words, but that's what Jesus said. And, you know, some of you out there, you're alone, you're by yourself, and you're getting, some people getting delusional and having all kinds of emotional problems. Well, if you would go to church and find you a good church, you could fellowship with the people there in that church. And it would be a great comfort and blessing to you as you listen to the music, as you listen to the preaching, and as you fellowship with other Christians and made friends with other Christians there in the church. The world is against Christ, and the only way that the message continues on, because the message is going to come through the churches that Jesus has given us. He says, I testify these things in the churches. And so it sort of shows where you are with the Lord. You know, if you're not attending a church somewhere on a faithful basis. You know, after Paul got saved, he went down to the city of Jerusalem, and they were suspicious of him, but there's a man named Barnabas there. And Barnabas took Paul and introduced him to the other people, the apostles and other people in the church. And it says immediately he joined himself to them. He didn't say, well, my membership is back in West Virginia or Kentucky or some other place. No, he joined himself to them. You know, a church covenant, a Baptist church covenant, always said that if you move to another place, you will then become a member of a church in that place. And I guarantee you, if your home church has a covenant, it'll have that in there. But it's not only that, it's because it is the purpose of God himself. He set up the churches. And the Bible-believing churches that are teaching what we're teaching today, we can trace them all the way back to Christ. It wasn't that for a while, a whole period of time, they lost Christianity, they lost doctrine of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That is a big lie all the way through. And I could give you names of people down through the ages that were preaching the gospel. Patrick of Ireland, the famous St. Patrick, was a Bible-believing, doctrinally Baptist preacher, was sent from Wales in the year 432 to Ireland. He started 360 churches and baptized, according to his own words, 120,000 adults. And they sent out the missionaries all over Europe, preaching the Bible. And by the way, preaching the same text, not in the English language, but the same underlying text as the King James. The modern ones are counterfeit, and they are not, they're based on a false and a counterfeit text. And so he says he testifies these things in the churches. Get right with the Lord and find a church, and it will be a blessing to you. And find one that believes in the King James Bible is the Word of God. You know, today this, most churches, the evangelical churches, they say, well, every word of the Bible is true. Which one? They disagree in thousands of places. And the true text has come to us from the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, and it can be shown to be, go right back to the apostles. I was reading Kurt Aland. I don't know that he's a Christian, but he's considered the leading textual writer in the world. And he points out that in the Orthodox, Greek Orthodox Church, they have lectionaries. And they found about 2,000 of these ancient lectionaries, and they go right back to 100. And they have the every last one that they found, they have the readings in Greek of the King James Bible translated from Greek to English. I saw a recent translation, and I was looking at the some of the key verses, and they were lining right up with the King James Bible in their English translation, going right back to Christ. And the Bible-believing churches also, besides the Greek Orthodox, they have... they had the true text, and they were preaching it. And, for instance, there's translations of the received text into the German language. And before Martin Luther was on the scene, and they have 600 of them in museums that they know about that were translated into German before Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation. They had the Bible, and people were copying it all the way through history. So Jesus says he testifies these things in the churches. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, God told David he would have an everlasting house, that his house, his genealogy, his ancestors, they would last forever. And so Jesus was an ancestor of King David. And the devil tried to destroy that ancestry all the way through so that Jesus would not come. But every time he tried, God blocked it, and God kept that ancestry. And God fulfilled his prophecy to King David. Today in Israel, they cannot find a genealogy that goes back to King David. They can find the tribes of Israel today by DNA in Israel, and they're claiming that they're finding the tribal DNA, for instance, the tribe of the Kohens and the Kohens, which were the priests in the temple, that they're finding their genealogy, but they can't, nobody can prove that they came from King David. And so God destroyed that evidence, but Jesus could prove he came from King David. Now it says also the bright and the morning star. And of course, Jesus is the bright and morning star. The devil is a counterfeiter. So in the NIV, New International Version, it calls the devil the morning star, taking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. And he is a bright star. He is the source of all truth. I tell you, if you don't have him, you don't know what the truth is. And you may be reading books by demonic spirits that it sounds good to you and it sounds logical to you and it appeals to you, but yet it is teaching things that are totally against God and against Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the bright and morning star. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And his light is shining over the whole world, and his light will give you hope. Now it says further on, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, come. What is that? Come and join God's family. Come and be a part of God's everlasting family. God's simply getting children together. He wants to have children, and he wants to bless the children, give his children everything that he has. Give them forgiveness of sins. Give them eternal life. Give them a home in heaven. Give them a blessing. Give them joy. Give them peace. He wants you to become a part of his family, and his last words to you are, come. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe you rose from the dead, and your blood takes away my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my God. And when you do that, you have come to Jesus, and Jesus says, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. And let him that heareth say, come. Now, all our job is, as Christians, is just tell the message. We don't have to argue with anybody. Now, I believe you can answer questions for people and so on and have a discussion. Paul debated, but you can just tell them. Jesus says, come. Come to Jesus. He died for your sins. He was punished for all your sins. He rose from the dead. And we could tell people that. And in a simple prayer, God is everywhere. By faith, we can have eternal life. And let him that is athirst come. So if you have a desire for God at all, you come. If you have no desire for him, maybe you don't think you need him. Well, you will need him on your deathbed. I'll guarantee you that if you'll have time before you die to know that you're going to die. But if you're athirst, if you want to know God, if you're not satisfied in life, if life is not bringing you joy and peace, then God says, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, you say, well, I killed somebody. God says, come. He said, whosoever will. I've lived too wicked a life. I'm doing wicked things. I can't get away from them. Jesus said, come. Whoever you are, come. Paul said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus died to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He was murdering and torturing Christians, and yet he came to Jesus, and God forgave him, and he had to say, let us leave those things which are behind and forget about them, because God is forgiven, and he will never bring your sins up against you again. And take of the water of life freely. The water of life is a picture of the Holy Spirit that God gives to you to overcome the sins and habits in your life. And God says, come freely. You don't try to make yourself a better person first. No, you just come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. You take over my life and save me and give me eternal life. And it's a free gift. See, the first thing that Eve took out on the perversion of the word of God when she made a new revision, she took out the word freely. God offers us salvation as a free gift. We don't deserve it. We all deserve to go to hell. But Jesus offers us salvation freely. Then Jesus says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. I was reading a book, and I debated this individual on a college campus. And he was a Greek professor, and he says, the words aren't important, it's the message. Well, he's totally wrong. And you get a concordance out and look at all the places where it talks about the words. Right here, Jesus says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And he says, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy. The words are important in this Bible. And that's why we have this program. And, of course, Satan has taken out the names of Jesus in 100 places in the modern versions. If you write us, we will send you free of charge a paper that shows you the 100 places where Jesus is taken out. And this is the church at Laodicea. Jesus is outside the door. You kick out his words, and you kick him out. And so he is taken out, and he says, I'll add to you the plagues. You know, when they put out the New American Standard so-called Bible at that time, Dr. Logsman, who is part of this, said to Dewey Lockman, who is in charge of the translation, he said, let me tell you that this translation, we have done something really against God by putting this thing out. And he said this to him, and Dewey Lockman said, well, when I come back from my honeymoon, he said, I'll talk to you about it. But he never physically came back. He came back in a coffin. You know, God's serious when he's saying these words. He's interested in the words. He gave the words. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Every word is important. Now, Jesus goes on, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You know, the words are taken away in modern versions, in hundreds and hundreds of places. I, for the life of me, cannot understand a preacher that is preaching the gospel and is preaching out of the gospel and preaching salvation and preaching the doctrine and is using one of these modern counterfeits. 99% of the manuscripts back up the King James Bible. They have been using it, the text behind it, all the way back to Christ. And this can be proven. And yet they use a Bible that kicks out Jesus and attacks fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. You know, when I was taking Greek in college, we used Nestle's Greek text. And I found out Nestle's Greek text came from the Jesuits. A number of books, Ira Price, University of Chicago, Kenyon of England, they just state it comes from the official Roman Catholic Clementine Vulgate of 1592. And this was taken from the Vatican Bible, which was the Pope was promoting 67 years before the Protestant Reformation. And the Vatican Bible is put out by Constantine, who is an Arian. He denied that Jesus was fully God. He said he was believed that he was a created angel, and he murdered his wife, murdered his son. He believed that water took away sin, and the Bible says the blood of Christ took away sin. He put that out, and it's greed on all sides. Now, how in the world can you follow, and can you go to a church and promote a Bible that takes out Jesus in 100 places? And we will send the paper to you, and you can copy it, and you can make as many copies as you want and pass it out. I tell you, don't think about what your friends think about this. If you take a stand, think about what God says about it. I believe the rapture is very close, and you're going to meet Jesus. And how are you going to meet him when you use a Bible and you promote a Bible that takes out his words? Not only that, but takes out his name and kicks him out of his own Bible. Let me read this again. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. My lands, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine. That's why we have this program. And we have a massive amount of evidence from all over the world. And books, we have books 1,100 pages long and show and document with hundreds of pages of documentation what I am saying. I'm not just one individual, and there's thousands of churches today that would agree with what I'm saying. And many of the founders, I would say D.L. Moody would agree. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and I have his words. I'm going to read them one day on the read. I'm going to read what these individuals say. And many people in the past. And you say, well, I believe in those Puritan leaders, and I like to read those books, and I promote those books. Did they use a corrupt Bible? Did they use, you say, well, this is new manuscripts. It is not new manuscripts. They had the same corrupt Bibles being circulated. Vaticanus is the source of the modern versions, and it was being promoted ever since 1450. And Luther didn't put the 95 Theses on until the 16th century, 1517. So you need to investigate this. I'm not just saying if you're a preacher today, if just believe it because I'm saying so, investigate it. If you write me, I'll give you the books. In fact, you might find this book online. It would be a good starter. But there's a book called Which Version is the Bible by Floyd Nolan Jones. Which Version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones. And get that book. There's a bookstore over by Huron Road Hospital right on Euclid Avenue in a big house there. And they probably would have that book, so I'll tell you where they're at. And if they don't have it, they would order it for you. I know that they had it over there in that bookstore. Which Version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones? But there's many other ones and documented books and that will show you this. But don't go on just because somebody taught you. Jesus says you make the Word of God of no effect by your tradition. Just because your college professor taught you, your Greek professor. And I'm telling you, those fellows are going to answer to God for what they're doing. And the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to it. That's why the King James continues on. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And the word of God is alive. And so that's why this Bible and this text goes on while hundreds of other translations have disappeared. Now it says, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. And when the tribulation is over, it lasts for 7 years. At that point, Jesus will come back. And then it says, even so come, Lord Jesus. And the whole thing is today as the apostasy, and that is the apostasy. That is the Laodicean church. Jesus said they were blind. You're blind to the most important issue is the Word of God. You know, God wants you to read this book. Every false religion will discourage you from reading it. And God wants you to believe it. The Bible says thy words are true. God's word is true from the beginning. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. And Jesus never corrected the Bible text he had. He had a text of copies after copies. Thousands of copies came down to him. He didn't correct the Bible. Neither did the apostles correct it. This business of saying a better reading is, or this is an unfortunate translation, original Greek. The Bible says, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, that is, builds up himself. When you have people that correct the Bible, they're just building themselves up. And I tell you today, these people, preachers that are using these modern versions, they are ignorant. The Bible says, talks about being willfully ignorant. And I just say, you ought to check this out. There is nothing more important than the words of the Lord. These are the last words of Jesus Christ. And you ought to be reading this Bible systematically every single day of your life. You ought to read it systematically. I read Matthew 1, read it two or three times. Matthew 2, two or three times. And read through the New Testament, then back again. You know, you don't think about going without eating. And we eat sometimes three times a day and sometimes more. If we eat physical food, we ought to eat spiritual food. A lot of people are anemic spiritually because they just don't read the Bible. This is the Word of God. How could you say that you believe in Christianity and you don't even believe what Peter wrote about Jesus Christ or what John, who is close to Christ, what he wrote about Jesus? You don't even read the Bible. You don't know what it says. God has told you to read. They that were at Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they search the Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Your spiritual life is nourished by the very words of God. And therefore, you need to read it every day. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness, and He will give you strength, and He will give you courage in times of trouble, in times of sorrow. And He will tell you the very mind of God. You know, people, based on their own opinions and theories and opinions of others, they put a pile of rubbish on what God has actually said. But you need to get rid of the rubbish and just read God's word. and be washed by the word and have your mind washed so that you know it and understand it. Well, the Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That is the last words of the Bible. Grace means a free gift that God gives you through Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.